First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the Sports Guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
You know what? I'm not going to do the Welcome to the BS Report starter anymore because obviously you know you're listening to the BS Report. You just heard the song. You heard the words BS Report. So I'm going to scrap that and just go right into the intro. From the NFL Network, one of the most influential people in sports media, at least in the top 200, as well as a former coworker at ESPN and now thriving on his own in the Los Angeles area, Mr. Rich Eisen. How's it going?
Fine. How you doing, man?
You're a new dad.
I am.
Welcome to the club.
Thank you. He's 7 weeks old today. He's a very masculine child. His name is Alexander, but that's just going to be for his diploma and driver's license. We're calling him Xander.
Nice.
Xander,
I like that.
Eisen. Yeah.
Interesting.
Very exciting. Very, very exciting. I've never been more happy to see another human being defecate.
Well, yeah. Nice timing, right, as football season started.
Having
a newborn.
Yeah,
good job.
There's been many kickoffs in my life. You know, work, personal, everything's great.
Couldn't have planned that one for February or March? Or?
Well, I mean, I was trying to have him come at the combine, but, you know, I think these things can't be really planned sometimes.
No. Hey, say I have a few friends who would back that statement up. Including my friend Stoner, who has a kid and then twins,
yeah,
and now a fourth on the way.
Wow.
All under 4 years old.
All under 4 years. I hope they have some help. I hope they have a little assistance.
Mm.
I don't know.
Well, fortunately, he's the voice of the PBA tour, so it's all good.
Oh, that's like the Van Patten family, for crying out loud, almost.
Hey, you know, I was hoping that something news-breaking would happen right as we were calling you for the podcast, which we're calling you.
And then nothing happened?
No, something happened. Tuesday morning, mm-hmm. The Rams.
Yeah.
They have made a quarterback change. They're going with Trent Green.
That's a shocker.
Big story of the day.
I cannot imagine that's going to be any change. I cannot imagine that Mark Bulger is the reason for this team's, utter and complete disastrous breakdown. I mean, it just... I know they haven't been putting points up on the board. I think they've been outscored, I think, 72-19, and that they, in the shocking stat of week three, didn't reach the red zone in 2008 until, I think, the second quarter of their game against the Seahawks this weekend.
Is that true?
That is a true story. They didn't get in the red zone the first 2 weeks of the season. The shocking stat of the year.
I'm trumping you with the shocking stat of the year.
And that is?
The 07 Patriots mm-hmm. offense through three games.
Yes.
And the 08 Broncos.
Yes.
Identical. Stats, points, yards, everything.
That is pretty shocking. I mean,
when you think last year.
Shocker. I gave you the negative shocker. You gave me the positive shocker.
Oh, good. Well, do we have a middle-of-the-road shocker?
Well, I guess what would be the middle-of-the-road shocker right now? I think that maybe Gus Frerotte is a starting quarterback in the league.
I would go with the lack of a dominant AFC team. I really thought after 3 weeks I'd have an idea at least who the favorite was in the
Well,
in
everybody
the
would think that the – that's a good one. I like that one better than mine. That the, you know, Patriots, Colts, and Chargers would be the 3-0 teams, and those divisions do have 3-0 teams. There just happen to be the Bills and the Titans and the Broncos.
Right.
And I don't know if any one of those teams are of the complete package – type teams that are going to just take you by the throat or rip out your heart and show it to you pumping, quite like the other teams in the AFC have been able to do the last few years. The AFC is totally wide open. I think Charger fans came off the ledge after the Monday night game.
Yeah.
But the AFC is totally up for grabs. And, you know, I'm sort of proud of the fact that we spoke about this on NFL Game Day, our Sunday Night Highlight show with me, Dion, and Steve Mariucci in week one at the very end of our week one show. We asked if the if the conference powers have shifted from the AFC to the NFC and the NFL, and we said at the time that it was, you know, those two guys said at the time it was too early. I thought we could definitely say that, starting with the Giants winning the Super Bowl last year, and I think for sure that the more powerful conference is the NFC this year, and that's the first time in a long time for that.
The Brady going down and then Manning kind of playing at 60% or 58%, whatever he is. I think
right. Those
two things really help.
They're 0-2. They have yet to win in their new building. They're 0-2. The last team to open a new building and lose their first two games was the 0-3 Eagles.
I don't know how many years in a row where the AFC was beating the NFC and like picking games for whatever week you would just think, all right, I'll just go. When in doubt, you go with the AFC team.
Right.
I think that has now shifted. When in doubt, now you go with the NFC team. You look at like that Falcons-Chiefs game last week. Those are two allegedly crappy teams, and the Falcons just completely lambasted the Chiefs.
Good use of the word lambasted.
Did I use it correct? Was it lambasted or lambasted?
I go lambasted as opposed to lambast.
Thank you. I also used disconsolate in our podcast with Cousin Sal, so it's a big 10 word.
And did Cousin Sal get it?
He actually asked for a definition.
He whiffed on that one?
Yeah.
That's a shocker, but yeah. I'm just taking a look at this week's schedule to see who's AFC and the NFC matchups, because, you know,
I
bring the noise when I chat with you.
Yeah.
I think we've got Arizona and the Jets.
That'll be interesting.
Two mediocre teams. And Buffalo at St. Louis. I think Buffalo's going to win that one. I can't, you know, Trent Green under center there. You know, Jason Taylor, as he mentioned a couple years ago, just one hit away from scrambled eggs, and that was absolutely the case. I can really not imagine that the St. Louis season's changing. But if I'm a head coach there, and everyone's howling at the gates for my head, I mean, you have to make a change. I don't blame him for making a change like that, because, you know, he's proving to somebody that that he can't just stand pat and just keep throwing the same thing out there. But with the Bills,
I have some bitterness toward him, though.
Bitterness towards who?
Linehan, because they were my 2006 sleeper, and they should have been the sleeper. What I didn't realize, he was a new coach. And now, sometimes with a new coach, you're like, oh, this guy had breath of fresh air.
Right.
And instead it went the other way, and I felt like he held them back. I just don't think he's good.
You don't strike me as a grudge holder, Bill, but that's
a little bit.
I think you need to let that one go.
A little bit. No, I've been picking against them all season because they have a bad team and a bad coach.
You've done very well then. I'm sure.
I think the door.
They've been dreadful. Poor state of Missouri. They're 0-6 right now, and they definitely are the home to the two worst teams in the NFL right now.
Oof. So you wouldn't throw Detroit in there?
No, I don't know why. I just don't think Detroit has the talent. Detroit has talent. I don't know what's happening there. I mean, that is a complete and unmitigated disaster again. But I think Detroit would beat the Rams or the Chiefs right now, don't you?
Detroit has that extra wrinkle, though, where the whole fan base is so disgusted by the team that it's pushed it to another level. Like, you know, in St. Louis and Kansas City, I just think they accept that those teams stink.
Well, I mean,
and that
in
it's
Kansas
gonna hopefully
City, I mean,
change.
It was shocking. It's shocking to see empty seats in Arrowhead. I mean, you never see that. Ever.
Yeah, but here's the question, though. Is it really even that fun to go to a football game? When you just to go, I mean, the tailgating part's fun, but if you're going to see a crappy team and you have these 5-minute TV timeouts and all this stuff, and your team's going to lose by 20, and you're paying $100 and 50 to park
right.
and 40 to eat food, like, what's fun about that?
You're asking the anchor of NFL Network if it's fun to go to a football game.
No. I'm saying, is it fun to go to a football game when your team stinks and you could just stay home and watch a much better game on your HD TV?
Oh, I'm not blaming the people of Kansas City. I'm just saying that it's pretty jarring to see those empty seats.
I agree, but I think you could make
a
case. Televisions have gotten so nice that they really have. Televisions, you watch a game now, you have like a 50-incher or 46-incher. Like,
right.
You don't want to move for 7 hours. You're just going to be happier.
And I know you appreciate this as well, Bill, that at a game, you can't enjoy the pearly wisdoms of Gus Johnson.
No, you don't
Whereas
get the
at
answers.
At home, you know, you do get the oomph. I mean, the man called the Atlanta Kansas City game last week, and it really did sound like it was a Super Bowl. That man can bring it. He really can. Every single play, I think we've discussed this before, every single play called by Gus Johnson, is Valparaiso has won the first round of the tournament again.
Yep, yep. You know what's interesting, though? When Dick Enberg had a really good game last week. What was it? Not Denver, New Orleans. It was another Jacksonville, Indianapolis?
Yes.
Jacksonville, Indianapolis. And that, you know, Dick Enberg's been around really my whole life. I don't remember life without Dick Enberg. You'd think at some point he'd be losing his fastball. He's in mid-70s, late-70s, I don't even know. And, yeah, maybe he'll screw up a name from time to time. But he matched the level of excitement for that game.
He's the greatest. I love that guy.
Did you remember the Fred Taylor when he broke, like, 15 tackles and ran for 34 yards? Like, Dick Enberg rose to that moment like Gus Johnson would.
Right.
So.
His voice still cracks. You know, like, he actually – and he means it. He's so earnest. He's the greatest. I mean, some of the greatest events have been called by him, and even the more recent great games have been called. He called the Indianapolis-Pittsburgh playoff game.
Right.
And, you know, we've replayed that on NFL Network a few times, and he's the best.
But you know what's interesting, though? I don't know if he's – I don't know if he has that stature. Like, I think if you ask the average person who's the best basketball player ever, they'd say Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask somebody who the best play-by-play, NFL play-by-play guy ever was, I think they'd have to think about it because Dick Enberg, he's been so smooth over the years. He's not the first guy that would jump to mind, but then you think about it, it's like, wow, actually, it's Dick Enberg.
Well, I mean, who else would you'd have to throw Summerall in there, right?
Summerall in there, but, you know.
Who else?
Does Summerall have that kind of career, though, without Madden? I mean, I love Summerall. He's one of my all-time favorites. But I do think the Madden thing helped him, whereas Dick Enberg never had a definable.
Well, but I mean, you know, he was great with Summerall and Brookshire. You want to go back to our childhood? You know, that they were always an entertaining listen as well. Who would you if you had one game you had to have called today?
Right now, out of any of the current broadcasters,
the huge game coming up this weekend. Who do you want to hear called again?
Well, obviously Gus Johnson. I mean, that's not even a debate.
You are in charge. You're the head of CBS. You're Sean McManus, okay?
Yeah.
And you've got the big game this weekend, or the Super Bowl. You would throw Gus Johnson in the booth? You would really do that?
I would have Gus. Well, I would definitely have Gus Johnson do March Madness all the way through the finals.
Right. You'd bench Nance. You'd bench. This is like the Fantasy League, the CBS announcer Fantasy Leagues.
I just love Gus Johnson. I mean, I'm totally not partial with this whole thing. I just really enjoy listening to Gus Johnson do football and basketball. I think those, and he never has done boxing, but I think he would be great at that too. But I just love, somebody who gets excited organically during the course of a game. To me, it's a must.
And also, for those who've never met him, wears shades indoors.
Yes, one of the five coolest guys probably in the United States.
You got to give him some pop for that.
I would say, though, that Enberg, for me, is as enjoyable as Gus, with the bonus that I have grown up my whole life with him and feel like he's part of my football experience.
Yeah, I've been fortunate to meet at Hall of Famers Merlin Olsen, just chatting with him, some of the greatest games that has ever been called, the two of those guys called.
Right. You know, I was totally underrated and slipped through the cracks, and he's like, I always think like Roy Scheider.
Yeah.
Was one of the most underrated actors of the 70s.
Sure.
Like, you look at Roy Scheider's IMDb, and it's like, holy mackerel. Like,
yeah,
carried Jaws.
Man. Yeah.
Jaws, one of the greatest 10 movies ever.
Right.
Marathon Man. He was in All That Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
All through the line. But, and now never mentioned, he died. It was like a one paragraph blurb. But I think Charlie Jones is like that.
Charlie Jones.
You guys ran a Charlie Jones game. You know, thank God I have the DirecTV, I have the NFL Network end. You guys ran a Charlie Jones game, and I forgot how great he was.
I just loved the way he would say, it's Charlie Jones calling the game. He would do all the Air Coryell games, pretty much.
Yeah, some reason he did San Diego-Denver every week for like 5 straight years.
You locked him into Jack Murphy Stadium pretty much every Sunday.
Maybe
he
lived there.
Listen, the NBC roster, I know we're really deep now into the whole announcing thing, but the NBC roster, you know, from the 80s and 90s, I mean, Marv, I think, was their C game. I think I think Marv was calling their C game. I think Enberg was number one. I think he was their lead announcer. They had some amazing guys. And you know who I'm liking this year? Is Don Criqui and Dan Fouts is in the booth together for CBS. I don't know if you've heard any of their games.
No, I have not heard them.
But Dan Fouts is a week-to-week CBS announcer. And Criqui, you know, Criqui's been around forever and a day. And Criqui, I believe, called the famous Charger-Miami playoff game.
Right.
And so I think Cricky was in part of the NBC team with Enberg and Charlie Jones and Marv. I mean, you know, I'm a New Yorker, so, I mean, to me, that's the guy. I mean, I rip off Marv Albert every day on my
job. So. I love it. And the funny thing with Marv is it's probably his third best sport. Because he was an unbelievable boxing guy, and basketball is obviously his best.
And hockey. I grew up listening to him call Ranger.
You're right.
He's a hockey guy, too.
Yeah, and, you're right. You know, we were just talking about, a color guy this year, I wrote about this last week, that I really thought was great was Brian Billick.
Yeah.
Which I guess we should have seen coming, but still, I really liked the stuff that he was pointing out and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got him in the booth with Baldinger this year, Baldy. And I forget who their play-by-play guy is there. But, no, I do enjoy most of the announced teams. But if I had to choose a guy to call a game right now, it would be Joe Buck. I'd have Joe Buck do it.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he doesn't get excited enough for me.
Well, I mean, I know that he gets accused of being a little too cool for school sometimes, but I enjoy listening to him, and I think he's because I've called a couple games for NFL Network couple of years, the Senior Bowl, which is not a very easy game to call because half these guys I don't even know about, to be very honest with you, 2 weeks before the game, But the toughest thing to do is just, and I think I've mentioned this before, is just to keep your mouth shut and not just run off at the mouth. And he nails it.
I'm getting electroshocked right now.
Why is that?
I have a response, but I'm...
What is it?
It's not going to...
Why can't you? Why? Because are you saying...
Well, I think the Monday Night guys have suffered from that issue a little.
Oh, and this is an ESPN podcast.
Yes. I think the Monday Night guys maybe could let some pauses, some natural pauses. Maybe.
Well, a three-man booth is tough. That's just because at some point someone's going to be talking more often than not. But
I am morally opposed to the three-man booth.
I know.
I just it drives me crazy. I hate it. I don't think it works with radio shows.
Right.
I don't think it works with games. If it works, it's almost like a miracle. Like, you know, the NBA on ABC, Mark Jackson and Van Gundy and
right.
Tirico, Mike Breen, I'm sorry, that actually, that worked. I'm not sure why it worked. I can't believe it worked, but those three guys were really good together.
Right.
But I think it's almost like hitting lightning in a bottle. Hey, why didn't you get, the last time you were on, I was asking you about that suddenly vacant NFL Network job.
Yes.
You were like political, personal, and then basically you confessed, you almost had an orgasm on the air. You really wanted the job. And,
well, I hate to tell you, it wasn't almost. I did have one, and I don't know if it made the final cut of our podcast. But you're asking me why I didn't get the gig? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, why didn't you get the gig?
I don't know, but because I'm part of the pre and post and halftime and. That's,
so maybe it's a positive. They decided, you know what, you're too valuable doing what you're doing. We don't want the other shows to suffer.
I guess so, you know, but like I said, I mean, it's just like any job that you've done for a while. I mean, if you've, like yourself, I mean, you're doing these podcasts now. You've done a lot of other things in your career. And, you know, if you've done columns forever and a day, you want to try different things. That's all. So you want to play with the other toys and whatever chest that you have and at work and,
yeah, but for me it was directing amateur porn, and it's one of those things that you just feel like you can keep getting better at it.
Shocks me because I didn't think that'd be part of the Disney portfolio.
It's not. I do it on my own under an assumed name.
Sorry, that's the amateur part. Otherwise, it'd be professionally made.
There's a lot of cheerleader series that I might be involved in.
No, but I am excited for. We have 8 games coming up.
And who is the announcing team?
They start earlier this year. You know, we usually start on Thanksgiving on NFL Network, but we're 3 weeks earlier this year. We got the Broncos at the Browns, and I think at this point all the NFL partners in television are thrilled that the Browns are on national television 4 more times.
Well, why can't they call an audible with that? I mean, that Browns thing was stupid when it happened. Everybody knew that they could potentially stink, and this could be a 5-game disaster on primetime.
Well, I mean, they've already had one of them with the Browns losing.
Oh, God.
And then we've got the Broncos, but you can't audible those games. NBC is the only place that has the ability to audible, you know. So
that's too bad.
Yeah, I mean that's it.
So who's the NFL Network team then?
The NFL Network team, Bob Papa, got the gig. He is the announcer of the New York Giants on the radio, and he's excellent.
Yes, I've heard him. He is good. I mean, excellent. You can't be mad about that.
And no, I'm not. I wouldn't have been mad at anything. I talk about football for a living, and it's a dream come true. So anything is good. And that is not the politically correct answer. But he's excellent, and he's going to be with Collinsworth. So it'll be a fun 8 games, and it starts with the Broncos at the Browns. So we'll be running a lot of the fumble and the drive video. And then we've got Jets at Patriots. We were very excited when Favre joined that mix, and then Brady goes down. But so that should still be very entertaining, you think?
I like, as I said, there was like a 15-month window where I did not have DirecTV, and I had always complained to you that you didn't show enough old games. And now that I have it back in my life, you guys show a ton of old games.
We try to do that.
Yeah, it's good.
Because you can't get enough. People, and I think it's obvious with all the numbers and the ratings. And a buddy of mine said he was in a comedy club the other night, and a comedian just said into a microphone, "So it's football season again," and the entire place erupted. You know, just by saying that into a microphone, people just can't get enough of football. You know, knock on wood, and so.
Well, like with me last
old games, new games, all of that stuff. So.
With me last weekend with the Ryder Cup, my dad is like the all-time Ryder Cup fan. Like he just, you know, he could be in charge of our two kids and the kids could be falling down the stairs and he would not even go get them until they went to a commercial. And he
you
was
know what, nobody. I didn't see anybody mention that. ESPN having the Ryder Cup last week. That was, I think, if not the first, but second instance of that's part of the Al Michaels trade.
Oh, yes.
From a couple years ago. You know how you always look to see who the player to be named later is years down the road?
They got some bunny. They got the Ryder Cup.
It was Oswald the Rabbit.
And they got, I think, a railroad and two immunities. That was the entire trade.
And so the ESPN had the Ryder Cup this week. That was part of the Al Michaels deal.
So on the Ryder Cup on Sunday, my dad's all excited and he calls me after.
Right.
And I was like, Dad, I got to be honest. Like, I just care much more about football. Like, you're this U.S. team that doesn't have Tiger Woods on it against all these European guys that I have no real opinion on other than Sergio. I'm glad we won. But honestly, I was much more interested in the Jacksonville-Indianapolis game. I just love football so much more than I could ever love the Ryder Cup.
I hear you.
But to me, there's no contest.
We have the ability to watch 9 games at once on NFL Network. We just sit on the Total Access set, and we split up our 3 huge television screens, 2 of them into quadrants, and then the one in the middle, so we can watch 9 games.
That's too many.
So what we did was we wheeled in a big screen, you know, TV to put one of the 9 games on that, and then we dedicated a screen to the Ryder Cup.
Ah, oh, that was nice.
I mean, so we, you know,
for America,
for America, we're very patriotic about that. And although it seems we always lose to the Europeans in the golf shirt department. Who chooses the golf shirts for the Ryder Cup?
And the high-five department. I found that watching more than 4 games is impossible. Like, you can really only concentrate on 4, and there's one thing happening at all times in one of those 4 games, except for the rare. We actually came up with a name for this last year at Jimmy's house. I don't remember what the name was, but when all 4 are in commercial at once, there's like this weird like minute-long moment where you're like, hey, wait a second, what's going on here?
Right.
But I don't think it's possible to concentrate on more than 4. I mean, you can have 9 games on, but I think it's almost like your head's going to explode.
Well, it's not just me or Dion and Mariucci watching it. It's like the whole crew. So there's like 20 people watching it, so... At some point, somebody's screaming fumble or pick or whatever, or he's gone, and then, you know, we all find it on the screen. So.
Well, and then also beyond that, you have the whole fantasy element that's now thrown in, where maybe you guys don't have that here. But
oh, no, we do the fantasy football.
Okay.
It's cleared by the front office.
Because now you have people getting excited because, you know, Edgerrin James ran a 12-yard sweep. Yes! And you look over, it's like, whatever. Oh, Edge ran for 12 yards. Oh, congratulations. They're at midfield. Like, who cares?
But, you know, it is sort of like, you know, fantasy football is like somebody talking about their kid. You know, unless it's your kid, you don't really care about it. But then there are very few aspects of fantasy football that does draw some interest. Like, for instance, week 2 Monday night,
I had Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah. My opponent had Brian Westbrook, Deshaun Jackson going in for a 70-yard score, but flips the ball back before he breaks the plane, and who then gets the touchdown but Brian Westbrook. And that's a crushing blow on the fantasy football front.
See, I'm not going to get mad because you just had a kid, so you missed my column last week.
I
devoted my column to that last week.
See,
but
you know,
had a kid, so I'm not going to hold that against you because you're
slipping.
Yeah.
So you did do that. See how
I wrote. I decided it was the greatest fantasy game of all time because not only did the DeSean Jackson thing happen, but you had so many key fantasy guys in that game.
Yeah.
And then, so my theory was that was the reason why they broke the cable record, because of fantasy.
Right.
It wasn't because it was a good game, because if it was just a good game, then the Baltimore-New England game last year would have broken the cable record, and that didn't. I'm not going to hold that against you, though, because I know what it's like to have that young one waking up at the all hours.
We're juggling. We're juggling here at the Eisen household. But,
so do you go with the Xander? Is it with a Z or an X?
X. It's like taking the A-L-E off the front of Alexander.
You know, I pushed for that for my son's name. That was in my final, like, five. I really like the whole X thing and the X-Man.
That's what we call him, the X-Man.
Yeah, I thought that was a great play, and my wife voted against it. But
what would you go with instead?
We went with LaBelle.
With who?
LaBelle. LaBelle. L-E. No, we didn't. We went with Dubbell.
You added the syllable in front of the name. That's what you did, basically.
I found that the la and the duh is really going in directions that delight me to no end.
Yeah, like Zachary, like, and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's like really there's no rules anymore with the la and the duh and the ma. If you go in any conceivable direction, like you could have a guy now on the Jaguars named La Steve.
Right.
And you don't even think twice.
Like La John McCain.
La John McCain. That's
something
a good
like
word.
That would be a new one.
Hey, did Deion Sanders read the Cowboys book?
I don't think so.
It's a pretty good book. I forgot how much I missed that.
Is that a Jeff Perlman tome?
Yes, it was a lot of good stuff in there. I would recommend that. Once you come out of your child haze, which would be about the 3-month mark.
Okay.
Because what people don't realize is you're changing so many diapers, and you really like go into a fog, and you just emerge. You'll probably emerge like right around the time when you guys start doing games. And
yeah,
think,
probably so. That is going to be usually around 3 months old there.
And you'll emerge.
And then next month is when my book comes out in paperback. So
How about a plug?
Come out for that.
How about
not
a plug?
Another one? It's just my first one from last year's.
But give us a plug.
Oh, it's called Total Access: A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe, and it's about what I do, talking football every single day.
And it's on paperback, which means you could probably get it for like $10 on Amazon, right?
You can. That's right.
There you go.
So that's I'm just trying to keep up with you, Bill.
Well, with all these either ESPN anchors or former ESPN anchors are cranking out books. I'm not gonna lie, I feel a little threatened.
I know. Well, it's Kenny Mayne, Linda Cohn.
Linda Cohn.
I'm honored that I'm indexed in Linda Cohn's book. I'm in the index.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw all the compadres last night in San Diego. Everyone was there.
When you say everyone, what do you mean?
There.
What do you mean, everyone?
Everyone. Stuart Scott. The whole crew. And
did you catch up with Emmett?
Susie Colbert. I didn't see Emmett. He was locked in. He was in preparation, and he had his earpieces in, so he couldn't hear me. Or maybe he did hear me and use the earpiece thing as an excuse, which I've done before.
You worked with Emmett at the NFL.
Yeah, I did for about a year and a half. It was great. Then he danced with the stars, and now we got Warren Sapp working for us, and he's dancing with the stars.
Have you ever thought of doing that Dancing with the Stars thing?
Never been asked. Would I do it? I mean, I never thought I would say yes to that, so I don't think so. But I don't know. I haven't been asked. I could use the ab workout.
How do you feel about our friend Jeff Ross being involved?
You know what? Jeff Ross is the greatest. This guy, I text him last night, and I ask him how the dancing go, and he texts me back, awful. And I write him back, what do you mean? And he writes back, scratched cornea. And I'm like, what? How do you respond to, like, did he scratch his cornea on the show? Apparently he got his eye hurt during rehearsal recently. And so he's playing hurt. He's dancing hurt. So for all people out there that are perhaps not voting for Jeff, know that he is dancing hurt, which I think shows a certain moxie. And it should be rewarded. It should be rewarded and not voted off. That's all I'm saying about Jeff Ross.
What kind of roast type joke did he make about this?
I didn't see that. But all I know is that this is just I didn't see the show last night. I was at the game in San Diego. But
I didn't see it because I'm a heterosexual male. I tried to watch it last year with Corolla, and it just, you know, it didn't take. I got nothing against Dancing with the Stars. It's just not in my
house. Did you go?
I did not go.
I've actually been to one, because I went when Emmett a couple of years ago to show some support. And my wife said that we needed to dress up for it. We needed to get in, like, evening wear.
Really?
And I told her, you're crazy. This is California. Everyone wears jeans. You know, there's no way. And she said, I'm telling you. And I'm like, let's go. So we went in jeans, and we show up, and everybody's in evening wear. And the producers of the show are going to sit me and my wife, Susie, right in the front of the tables, because, you know, that's the set. It just looks like, you know, like it's a cabaret or whatever.
Right.
And they had to stick us behind a table because we had to hide our jeans.
There's
a certain sort of highbrow nature to this that I think you're poo-pooing, Bill.
I can't even imagine how mad your wife was about this.
She was livid.
Because I know if that was my wife and it was just we were going to some Christmas cocktail party, it would have been like 3 weeks of her just bitching about
she
it.
She was definitely... Bill, she was not pleased with me.
Because that only...
I'm like, you're kidding me. We got to dress up. But she was right. I was wrong.
You're hitting the trifecta of marital arguments there, because you have the I told you factor being thrown in your face, followed by the you embarrassed me factor, and then the it would have been so much more fun if this had happened factor. And that's a disaster. You're in almost a marital counseling
that
after that.
That is the trifecta. You are not wrong.
It's a triple-double.
That is spot on. You're not wrong in any of that.
So did the camera ever cut to you just with a look on your face like you just wanted to hang yourself?
Yeah, just like, you know, like Jack Tripper, a moment, just like, zoinks, this is not good. Yeah, that happened to me. But, you know, you should go. If Jeff Ross advances, if Warren Sapp advances, that'd be a good column for you.
I don't think Jeff Ross will advance. I think he will devance, or whatever the opposite of advance is.
He didn't tap out. I mean, that you know, the football version of tap out. He didn't tap. He's hurt. He's hurt. We need to get the word out that Jeff Ross is dancing hurt.
Well, you know what he should do?
Or dancing half blind is what I think he's doing.
Well, what he should do then is have that horrible thing that people wear when they have an injured eye, like that big circular thing of tape.
Yeah.
That covers their eye, and obviously something, I don't know if they even have an eyeball or not. Like, you just know something bad happened. No, I do not even a patch. I'm talking about like the scotch tape circle. That signifies that, you know, your eyeball was in serious danger.
He should just go grotesque is what you're saying.
Yeah, go grotesque, and then he gets the sympathy votes. It's not a bad idea.
So I think we just need to get – I mean, I'm glad that I'm mentioning it on your show. You need to get the word out that Jeff is dancing hurt. And
I'm going to get the word out on that.
You know,
I mean, the word's out. Anybody listening to the podcast, the word's out. Last question. What's on your TiVo? Top five. What's
TiVo?
You have to rank the TiVo.
Okay.
From 1 to 5.
I here it is, and I swear to you, this is where it currently is right now, because Lost is not on right now. Ordinarily, then Lost would be on it. Mad Men, I TiVo Mad Men on Sunday nights when I'm not
home.
Nice. And then the rest is The Daily Show with Jon Stewart is TiVo'd. KO, Keith Olbermann Show, I TiVo that one.
Okay.
And I TiVo Meet the Press and 60 Minutes. So I go straight hard news pretty much when I'm
not home.
Did you
jump on Mad Men coming out of the gate, or did you get into it later?
I didn't jump on it out of the gate. I heard great things about it. I actually played poker with Jon Hamm years ago, the actor who plays Don Draper, and got to know him, and he's a good guy for whom the success could not be more deserved. And he's superb in it, and the show is like The Sopranos, basically. It was created by a Sopranos guy. And it is as close to The Sopranos as anything is out there right now.
I love Mad Men and have been touting its praises on this podcast, actually.
It's superb.
Here's the rub, which anybody that listens has already heard, but I'm telling you. So we have a chance to get Don Draper in our fantasy draft.
Right.
Jimmy's cousin Sal decides that he doesn't want to go to 12 teams because we have a 10-team league. Can't bump out any of the existing 10 for obvious reasons.
Right. But he doesn't want to go to 12?
Decides that he would rather keep it at a 10-team league over having Don Draper at our draft. And I wanted him to dress up in a great suit.
Jon Hamm is a great guy and a huge football fan.
I know, and he wanted him.
He's a Chiefs fan, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's
not
good.
These days.
That's not good.
But, what you want in your fantasy league are two things. Good people and, two, guys who will actually not, like, play people who are hurt. because they don't pay attention.
Yeah.
That's what you want. And he, John, bad move. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, listen, I made the same arguments. He's doing a 16-hour day filming Mad Men and
right.
probably doesn't realize that he has the second waiver wire choice. Like, that's what we want in our league for $450 or whatever it is.
Oh, now I see you're going the other way. I see what you're saying. But, well, yeah, I'd 30 Rock. I'd throw a 30 Rock in there. I'd TiVo 30 Rock.
Oh, interesting. Well, I also wanted him in the league because I feel like this show is probably the Sopranos of its kind of generation,
it is awesome.
Mini generation. And this is, to me, was the equivalent of being able to get Gandolfini in our league in 1999. And then
That's
you
true.
Could spend the next, 10 years telling people that.
People should get on the John Hamm bandwagon right now. You're right. I agree.
It's a great show. And if that's not enough, they're very good looking women. So even just on that, just if you're horny, just watch Mad Men.
If nobody knows who January Jones is,
yeah.
just one episode of watching Mad Men will make you know.
And the redhead.
Yeah.
Don't forget the redhead.
That's true.
All right, we'll let you go. Good luck with...
Always great chatting with you, Bill.
Good luck with fatherhood.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And try not, if you get those eye bags developing, over the course of the first 8 weeks, don't be afraid to spend an extra 20 minutes in the makeup chair. Nobody's holding it against you.
I'm not averse to that.
Because then it's HD, So if you have flaws, they're going to come out. So don't feel afraid to do that.
Oh, and my wife is actually, she's published now, too. Just before I let you go on that, since I'm going back to my wife right now.
What's the plug on that?
She's got a post on the Huffington Post right now.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Do you go to that? Do you go to that website?
I love the Huffington Post.
It's fantastic.
Is it a post about how you ruined her Dancing with the Stars experience?
No, it is not about how I ruined her Dancing with the Stars. No, I did not.
Okay.
But we have gotten back together since that moment.
Oh, good. Okay. Right. Well, we're all happy. Yeah. All right, we'll have you on again when you guys start showing games.
You got it, pal. Take
all right,
care.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, now it's time for our weekly feature where I go head-to-head against my buddy Sal, and we try to pick the week's lines. Sal picks the games ahead of time. I pick the games live on the podcast, and we try to see who did better for the week. And this week, as a bonus, we're going to actually come up with a bet. We're going to bet on this because it's kind of inexcusable that we don't have a wager on this. So let's bring him in right now. The Emmy Award winner from Jimmy Kimmel Live, Sal Iacono.
What's happening, Billy?
I'm a little depressed today. Two 1-point fantasy losses in both of my leagues. That's unprecedented.
Yeah, and you had a bad one the week before with the between the Deshaun Jackson play and then last night a last second interception thrown.
Yeah, I was going against the San Diego defense, and if they got to 13 points, I lost. And it was 71-70. Kellen Clemens comes in. I knew it was over when I saw Kellen Clemens. But then just to spur it on, he brings him all the way down the field and then throws the pick in the end zone. So yeah. I lost on that and Deshaun Jackson back-to-back weeks. I'm 0-3.
That's bad.
Not a lot of silver linings. I'm starting to get worried about the 0-13.
Why?
I might go 0-13. I'm 0-3. I
mean, oh, really?
10 more losses. I'm 0-13. That's one of the worst things that's ever happened.
Well, I can't wait to read the column about what's harder, going 0-13 in real life or in fantasy.
Or being the Lions and going 0-16 in the Rams. Let's hit the week 4 lines. You already guessed them. I'm going to guess them. We're going to see who's better. But before we do that, some controversy last week. It turned out we tied.
Yeah, we did tie. I screwed up, and I know you got a zillion emails from these people.
Did you screw up or did you cheat?
No. Listen, if I wanted to cheat, I could just say I nailed everyone on the head. I'm like, nope, sorry, I got that one. You didn't get that one.
That's a good
point.
And
by the way, we're still not playing for anything. So what's in it for me to cheat? But Coach Belichick, who's near and dear to you, I've been accused of cheating, and now I'm going to run it up.
Oh, this could be the FU week for you?
This is it, yeah.
Wow, interesting. Well, wait, we're tied. So since we tied last week, it's 1-1 with one tie.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So conceivably, we could make a bet right now.
Yeah, I guess we could. What should it be?
I think
I thought of it.
The loser has to take the winner along with 4 or 5 of our friends to Fogo de Chao for one of those dinners where we all feel sick after and go to the bathroom for 3 straight days.
I like that. That's
right,
a Brazilian steak joint, and they just keep coming with meat. Yeah, that's a win-win for me. So that's fine.
Fogo. Maybe we can get him to sponsor it. I just gave him a nice plug.
Yeah.
And also the winner gets to hear Adam Carolla's theory about the coffin kick.
That's the winner?
the loser has to hear Carolla's coffin kick theory for which we've all heard now 53 times.
You missed, and I'm not kidding, an hour and a half of between Adam Carolla, our friend Kevin Hench, and Dave Damischek going over the origin of Buffalo Bill and where Buffalo Bill came from. And it wasn't even settled. Oh, it was all people like walking out of the room, jumping out of windows. It was terrible.
It's like an airplane. They're pouring the gasoline at each other. Yeah. All right, let's hit the lines.
Let's do it. Atlanta.
It's a short week. Short week this week.
This is a wow. I don't like. There's not one game I like in this bunch. There's too many good teams off or interesting teams off. Like Indianapolis is off, even though the Patriots aren't as good. They're off. The Giants, Seattle. It's not interesting. But Atlanta, Carolina is the first game.
I think Atlanta is a good, bad team, but not a good team. Does that make sense? So I'm going to say Carolina by 8.5.
Oh, I said 8.5 also, and it's 7.
All right.
But that's a good, I think that's a good teaser game. Let's keep that in mind.
Teaser. We never did the teaser of the week last week. We got to remember to do it this week.
Let's try to remember. I think that's one of my teams. I don't trust Matt Ryan on the road just yet. Arizona at the Jets.
The Jets kind of found a little bit of rejuvenation in the 24-point blowout, I thought. Like, at least they realized now, all right, let's just play run and gun and throw the ball. I'm going to say Jets by 2.5.
You get it. It's Jets by 3. I said 1. So, all right, so as it is now, because we count the tie for each of us, you're up 2-1.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't like – I think Mangini kind of stinks now. I think this is not a versatile offense at all.
Well, do you have an explanation for when they were down, when they scored and it was a 14-point game and they went for 2 and missed it, which from the 9-inch line, which then enabled San Diego to kick a field goal to put them up by 3 scores? How
in
that
shotgun
made any sense?
Formation, by the way. They had drawn 2 defensive penalties and they got so close to the goal line, like you said, and then they were in shotgun formation.
But what is the benefit of being up 12 or down 12 versus 13?
No, I know. It's like Mangini, like, all right, you want to say what you want about Belichick and the cameras? He's reverse cheating. He's doing everything he can to make sure his team loses. So, I don't know. Cleveland at Cincinnati.
Oof. Since he not terrible last week against the Giants. I thought they did everything they needed to do.
Should have won.
Cleveland looks like their season's over, and I'm going to say Cincy by 3.5.
You got it exactly. That's crazy. I said Cleveland by 3. I said Cincy by 3. They give us a 41-38 shootout this week and then go back to sucking up the league. Give the fantasy nerds a bone. Minnesota, Tennessee.
Ooh, physical game.
Kind of intriguing, but
that's a good game. You got to admit that's a nice game.
I know, but it's going to be 13-7 with 3 minutes left in the fourth. But
how sad is it that a Gus Frerotte-Kerry Collins matchup is the marquee matchup of the week?
Yeah, you're right. Wow.
So Minnesota at Tennessee.
Yep.
Oh, see, Gus on the road. I'm totally sold on this Tennessee team. I just
really
think they're good. Yeah, I think they're a kick-ass team. They're physical, and they knock teams around. They make plays. I love their goal line stand. I think they're the best AFC team right now.
It just bugs me that they're subpar at almost all the skill positions. I think that's true. The most boring 4-0 team.
The Bears made the Super Bowl, and you 2 years ago you could have said that. I'm gonna say Tennessee by 5.5.
Let me see who gets this here. I think we tie because I said 1.5 and it's 3.5. So it landed right in the middle. Yeah, you're giving them too much respect. I'm not giving them enough. So
it's Gus Frerotte on the road against probably the best defense in the AFC. I think that's a fair guess.
Boring. Green Bay at Tampa Bay.
Green Bay at Tampa Bay. What do we make of this Brian Greasy thing?
I think it's good. I think every other team should take a look. You like your Patriots, and this is nice. You dig deep, and you find guys who still have some skills at the quarterback position.
For the two top guys in fantasy last week were Ronnie Brown and Brian Greasy, who didn't start for probably one team in America.
Yeah, that's nuts.
So wait, it's Tampa Bay.
Tampa's home at hosting Green Bay.
I really didn't like what I saw from Green Bay. We talked about this Sunday night, but I thought your team probably could have won that game by 40 points.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to gauge anything against the best team in football. But what are you going to do?
Be careful. Just be careful. I'm going to say Tampa by 3.
I think I get this one. I said Tampa by 2. It's only actually minus 1.
Wow.
So, all right, so right now it's 4-3, you.
Okay.
San Fran at New Orleans.
Do we like JT?
I think we're going to have to soon, right?
This is another nice matchup for him.
I don't know if I like him on the road, though. This is another teaser game, I think, for me.
Maybe this is just something that's going to happen every year. You're going to have some random crappy quarterback be a good fantasy guy for like 10 weeks, and the league will figure him out. Like he's this year's Derek Anderson, maybe.
Yeah, he could be.
I don't know about that New Orleans team. Denver felt like Denver should have had 60 points in that game.
Well, it's not a must-win, but with games like with teams that lost the previous week, and then there's a subpar team on the road, I like New Orleans this week.
Is Colston in or out?
I didn't think he was coming back just yet.
All right, I'm gonna say New Orleans by 7.5.
That's what I said, and it's 6.5, so we tie that one.
Teaser.
A teaser is right. New Orleans, Carolina, so far is what I like. Houston at Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, save their season.
Yeah,
they'd be done.
And now they could go on to win the division.
Wait, so it's Houston at Jacksonville?
Mm-hmm.
So Houston started out the season with 3 straight road games. I didn't realize that.
Well,
they had that one canceled.
Well, that was supposed to be home, right? That's why it was canceled.
Yeah, but I'm saying because it was canceled.
Oh, I got you.
Week 1, week 3, week 4, 3 road games.
Yeah.
And Matt Schaub, I don't think, has ever played a good game on the road.
Interesting.
I think Jacksonville. I like Jax. I think this is a potential blowout game followed by the Houston is dead kind of stories.
Yep.
I'm going to say Jacksonville by 8.
That's what I said. It's 7.5.
Oh,
wow,
man.
We're right on with each other.
Yeah, we are.
It's another good teaser.
Well, you know, week 4 is really when you figure out. You kind of get a feel for who's what.
Yeah. Denver at KC.
Oh, God. My buddy Gus said Denver could be 6-0 heading into the Pats game, and it's actually conceivable.
Yeah. Why, because they're in the AFC West?
Yeah, they're in the AFC West, and they won 2 games in a row that they had no business winning.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden they're going to be 4-0. KC is just...
They might be the worst, right? Do you put them at the very bottom, KC?
No, I'd still have the Rams.
The Rams.
I think the Rams, and now the Lions.
Game. Yeah.
The Lions have their whole fan base quitting on them, which is a whole other issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the other teams have had to deal with that. At least the Rams won the Super Bowl in the last 10 years.
Did you read this morning? Al Davis tried to fire Herm Edwards, but the league said, no, you're not allowed to do that. It's not your team.
I'm going to say Denver. I think this line's a little high. I'm going to say Denver by 7.5.
Oh, it's higher than that. I said 10, and it's 9.5.
Oof.
Yeah, that's... Well, you have these teams that lose every week by double digits. I think you have to make
true.
It like that.
Tyler Thigpen's off of, yeah.
I believe we're tied, but let me count. 6-6, and now we're heading into the late afternoon games.
Okay.
Buffalo at St. Louis.
Oh, another classic.
It's a lousy week. We're going to be watching the Mets and the Brewers. It's going to be on every screen.
At what point does Torrey Holt just not go to work?
Yeah.
He just doesn't just stays home.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, first I'm going to say that Buffalo was blessed by the easiest schedule in the league. God bless him. Buffalo by 4.5.
You see, this is, and I undersold it too. I said 6.5. It's Buffalo by 9. That is high.
They couldn't even cover against Oakland last week, 9.
Yeah. I think St. Louis, have they lost by 25 points a game every week? I know you have to make it high, but I don't like them on the road giving that many points.
Well, and also you have St. Louis. Their season's probably already over, but they can't get blown out 4 straight times by 25 points.
No, something's got to give.
Steven Jackson at some point's got to rush for over 50 yards.
Yeah, that would be nice for some people. San Diego at Oakland.
San Diego, that Tomlinson-Sproles combo is pretty good. And it also looks like their receivers are starting to come through.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego might be the best AFC team. I'm not willing to rule them out.
Really?
Well, they're
going to have fun games. I think they're going to score points. Denver's going to score a lot of points. They might be the 2 best teams in the AFC.
I got to be honest. I didn't see the Phil Rivers thing coming. I thought he was maybe like, B-plus ceiling. He's probably higher than that now.
Yeah.
I'm going to say San Diego by 8.
Well, I said 6, and it's 7.
Ah,
so we both get that one.
Almost said 7.
I think that Lane Kiffin, it's Tuesday morning for people who know, but Lane Kiffin, I don't know if he's fired, but he is smart to say, like, what did he say? Until I'm told by Al Davis that
right.
I'm fired. Al Davis hasn't spoken in 17 years. That's a smart thing to say. Like, until he actually opens his mouth, until he downloads a new Nelly album on iTunes, I consider myself the head coach. But
I like any story that includes somebody saying, I am not quitting. It's always good.
Washington at Dallas.
Washington at Dallas. I'm not sold on this Redskins team. I think they're a pretty soft 2-1, wouldn't you say?
I would say so.
And your team could really beat anybody in the league, in the NFC by 20 points on any given day. I'm going to say Dallas by 9.5.
See, I said 10, and I've now won 4 in a row against you, but And I felt good when I saw this. The actual line is 13.
Ooh.
So people think my team is better than even I think they are.
Wow. And, well, you do when you have the lead. You do have that. You get that last touchdown when you're up 10, and all of a sudden it's 17 or 20.
Yeah.
Nah, I should have guessed higher.
It is nice, like with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, they're playing in Lambeau, and I'm able to change a channel for a second to see if John Adams won an Emmy for cinematography. You know, it's a nice feeling to be at the be so confident in them.
Who would you rank higher in terms of affection, John Madden and Brett Favre, or the Emmy voters and HBO? Anything
so
HBO, hard, they just go for. Recount. I liked Recount. It was okay, but...
Yeah.
I mean, really?
There's some shows I'd never heard of. They even gave Inside the NFL something. I don't think so. But Philly at Chicago. This is Sunday night.
How about Chicago not being able to stop the pass?
What was it, like 23 in a row or something?
It's not like they, it wasn't like they were going against the 99 Rams. It was Antonio Brown and Michael Clayton and Brian Greasy. That was, I think, very strange. Who were they home against?
Philadelphia. This is a decent game, I guess.
That's a nice game. And Philly looked, they're just not going to look better than they did last week. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's a pick 'em.
Wow. I said the same thing. I thought you'd take me here. Hold on, sorry. It's +3. Philly is giving 3. On the road at Chicago. I'm staying away from that.
Maybe that's one of those, the Eagles D against Kyle Orton things. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, just so you know, this game means nothing, and I've hit it on the head, so I'm gonna win the week. And I'm that much closer to Brazilian steak. Baltimore at Pittsburgh, Monday night.
Roethlisberger playing?
I believe so. As of this morning, they said he was going to try to play.
What was Damashek's explanation for Roethlisberger basically whimpering throughout the second half?
It's so funny because he went back and forth with how he was praising the Steelers' defense. And he was like, next to the Cowboys, this is the best team in football. And then, I'm not even kidding, like 10 minutes later, he's like, very, very mediocre. We may be in the middle 10 of teams in the NFL. So what are you talking about? But that offensive line was dismal.
It was bad. And Roethlisberger really, you can just tell he's hurt because he just didn't want to get hit. And he just looked so disconsolate in the second half. I thought that was pretty disturbing.
I'm going to look that up, but I trust
disconsolate?
That. Disconsolate? Yeah.
He did not look consolate, I can tell you that much.
Oh, okay, if you would have said that. But if Baltimore wins this, they could maybe make a run at the division, right? They haven't lost yet, have they?
And you know what? I'm going to say Vegas kind of respects them in this game. I'm going to say Pittsburgh by 3.5.
Oh, wow. No. It was 7.5, and that's what I said, 7.5.
Really?
Yeah, it's high.
So last week's game didn't matter? Roethlisberger, separated red shoulder, getting hit, afraid to get hit. Nobody's concerned about what Baltimore's D is going to do to him?
They must not have watched. It's a strange thing. Well, I guess they're thinking Flacco on the road. It's too early.
Flacco on the road. That sounds like a movie or something. I don't know. All right. So
all right, 11-8. I win. Let Charlie cheat it this week.
And you're going to have to cheat. How many minutes do you have left? One?
Yeah, I have about a minute.
Do you have an Emmy story for us?
Let's see.
Because you went to the Saturday night party.
I do have a story. We ran into Jeff Probst, Survivor, and I ran my theory by him. My idea of how we're going to throw out whoever wins our fantasy league, we're going to throw one team out.
We're going to vote them out.
No, yeah, whoever wins gets to vote out one team and has to vote out one team. And he loved it, and so much so that if he's in town that weekend of the draft, he's going to pull the name out of the hat.
Wow. Now, would we have to get tikis, you think? And, like, a little fire in the background and stuff? I think, we have to.
Yeah, let's do it all. Girls in bikinis. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And people, I think everybody should have to write down their votes, too, on the giant index cards.
That's great.
Brad in big capital letters. Well, that was good. All right, congrats on your week 4 win, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
Target to sign off.
Whoa. Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.